And you know, I found people very helpful as a kid. You know, as I had said, we had to work. People understood that, so they made some allowances. In those days, you didn't have programs to help like you have today, but neighbors were real neighbors. And if they knew you needed something, they stepped up.
Well, was that diversity reflected inside the factory?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, it was the entry-level position. If you had a willingness to work and a strong back, you were accepted. And you could see the movement through the factories. Although it was before me, we had, for example, in PBD, a lot of Turks. And by the time I started being aware, there was only a few left, some Finns. The same thing. When I was in the tanneries, was an awful lot of Italians and newer people coming in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody seemed to get along.
So when you're growing up in PBD, and then you left and you went in the Army, did that change any perceptions of PBD for you or of the world?
It's like anything else, you're just happy to get home. Simply
okay.
put.
Yeah. All right. So you never thought about going anywhere else, moving anywhere else?
Well, I used to laugh when I graduated from college. I went to work for the FDIC, and we have a posting system. I always tell everybody how I posted for 55 jobs and never got one of them. So I ended up staying in this area, and the strangest thing in the world, and I guess it's was normally in the government is a joke about mobility. It's not ability, it's mobility. And the people who move around get promoted. Mm-hmm. I was very fortunate. I ended up in the executive ranks of the government with never moving. And I joke about that in the sense that you become indispensable. And you're the guy that knows where the things are put on. And it seemed to work for me, but usually it's, like I said, mobility. Mm-hmm. So no one wanted me, but it worked out.
And all your family was here.
And all my family was here. And that's important, too. Yeah. You know, in today's world, you have marriages that are bicoastal. We have families that are all over the place. And I've been very fortunate that my immediate family is still in the area.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think about going back into leather?
No. It's nice to visit once in a while the small tanners, and as I mentioned, my cousin still owns one. Tremendous amount of respect for what they did, but the world changes, and so did I. And the emphasis was placed on education and doing something else. Mm-hmm. And working in a tannery helped me pay my way through school. Mm-hmm. So I'm forever grateful for the opportunity.
So do you want to just talk about the various jobs that you did when you were working there?
Well, as a young kid, I used to strip leather. I know you are aware of what stripping is. The leather would be on tacking boards, and my job and my older brother, who was 11 at the time, we'd go in and we'd strip the leather. And the boards were probably five and a half feet tall, and I still haven't got up that high, but I had a hard time reaching the top skin, so what we would do is he'd take the top and I'd take the bottoms, and two kids make one man. So we would do it that way. That was one of the processes.
How was that on your fingers or your arms? Like, was that hard to do?
Well, you know, I have said this to you, and you look at my hands today and they're soft. When I was a kid, I had hands that were all calloused and tremendous amount of strength in my hands from doing that type of work. And I used to surprise a lot of the bigger kids when we'd wrestle because of the arm strength and the hand strength. Those tacks, regular tacking nails, and depending on the tacker, some were extremely strong men, and they'd drive that tack in.